Hello and welcome to the Mixed Media Podcast for Wednesday, March 23rd. I'm Chris Wagner, culture critic for the Dallas Morning News. I'm joined in the studio, as always, by Christopher Wynn, the arts and culture editor for the Dallas Morning News. Hello, Christopher.
Hello, Chris Wagner.
And joining us as well, as always, is Lauren Smart, the arts and culture editor for the Dallas Observer.
That's still what I'm doing.
All right.
For a little while longer.
Good times. For just a little bit while longer. So we're doing something different. We're going to do some short segments. You guys excited for the short segments?
I am, because we have kind of a breaking news-ish inspired segment, and so it's giving us a great opportunity to talk about it.
That is correct. Why don't we get started? On today's show, the Clyburn Curse. Thursday morning, Vadim Kolodenko, who took first place in the 2013 Clyburn, called 911 to report that he'd found his two young daughters, ages 1 and 5, dead, and his estranged wife with multiple stab wounds at their home in Benbrook. The wife, Sofia Saigonkova, was taken to the hospital for treatment of her wounds and psychiatric evaluation. Then police determined that the wounds were self-inflicted, and on Monday they charged her with capital murder. She's being held on a $2 million bond. It's a crazy story. We have brought in a classical music critic emeritus, Scott Cantrell, to help fill us in. Hello, Scott.
Hello. Good to be here.
So what is going on here? This is a really wild story.
Well, it really is, and as I wrote, it's one of those things that we see on CSI shows on TV or read about happening to people we don't know, but to have it this close to home in that both these people were actually living in Fort Worth at this point and had made, and certainly Kolodenko made a big splash as the winner of the last Clyburn, it really has an immediacy that these kinds of stories don't often have.
You know, the story was so shocking when it broke, and for a moment, a lot of people assumed that Kolodenko actually committed the crime, and then it became a lot more complicated and more tragic after that. What was interesting is that you actually wrote about something else related to this case, and that is the so-called Clyburn Curse. Tell me about that, because I was very surprised when I heard about this from you.
Well, I think when people use that term, and it's been around for a while, it usually refers to the winners who have a great career burst from winning the competition, and they get all these gigs of playing with orchestras. And then once that dies out after 2 or 3 years, their engagements drop way off. And most of the major competitors or most of the major winners have had significant careers, but only one of them in 54 years, I guess it is, has had the position of one of the major pianistic talents of our time, and that's Radu Lupu, who I think was in the second competition. So, you know, these competitions create these great expectations of career success and adulation, and after 3 or 4 years, the next competition comes along and they sort of get relegated to the sidelines, or at least in ways that they hadn't fully prepared themselves for. And I think, you know, the Clyburn's been better about continuing to support the winners after that, but that's been the curse. But in this case, what I was referring to were the three previous gold medalists who died young under unfortunate circumstances.
What does it actually mean to win the Clyburn? What does that do for a young pianist?
Well, the last one, there was a $50,000 prize, which is pretty significant in the classical world. And they have preset engagements with orchestras and in solo recitals. So it's a great career boost. And, of course, there's a lot of publicity around the Clyburn in particular. And they've made a real point of promoting it with a documentary each time. So it's great exposure. But it's only good for a certain period, and then whether you can sustain it depends on you and on a lot of things, whether you get a good manager, you know, a lot of factors go into it.
The idea of a curse is really, it's fascinating. People talk sometimes about the Sports Illustrated curse, where if you appear on the cover of Sports Illustrated right afterwards, something horrible will befall you. But Scott, listening to you, it sounds like this is just an extremely high-pressure situation that can have very little psychological dividends on the follow-up on the back end?
Well, the pressure is a very real situation, and Van Cliburn himself was sort of the quintessential example of this, that at the time it was international news. It was, you know, during the Cold War, and here was the fact that an American had won this new Russian competition, and supposedly Nikita Khrushchev, the premier at the time, had to say it's okay to give a prize to an American. So, you know, he got a Wall Street ticker tape parade. Wow. But within about 3 years, a lot of people were observing that his playing had kind of lost freshness, and you can hear it on the recordings. And he actually took about a 10-year sabbatical before coming back, and it was never quite the same.
So this is the curse of immediate or early success, but then there's this other part that's much more menacing that you're writing about in this case, which is that tragedy befalls you.
Yeah, and of course, you can't blame that on the Cliburn or on the competition. It just happened that these three things had happened, that Stephen de Groot died. Well, he nearly died as a result of a plane crash, and then he died later of AIDS, reportedly because of a transfusion. And then there was Alexei Sultanov, who was this 19-year-old kind of crazy kid, and there was a lot of concern about whether he had the stability for the career, and indeed, within a couple of years, it proved that he didn't. And then he had these early strokes, one of which left him with no use of his left hand or leg, and so he was reduced to playing in nursing homes with his wife playing the left-hand part. I mean, a horrible, tragic story. And he was 35 when he died. And then there was, most recently in 2014, José Figali, who committed suicide. And here was a guy who always seemed up and lively and energetic, and but friends said that he had had a long time struggle with depression.
Yeah, I'm just getting chills listening to this. It's just so many layers of sadness to this whole story.
It really is. And then this, of course, becomes the most sensational chapter that we're dealing with right now. It's interesting how much of an impact this story has had. I know the Washington Post just did a piece kind of spinning off of your piece about the curse. There's been so much media interest. What is the latest? What do we know is happening now? I know you're very plugged into that community. What do we know?
Well, I guess the latest is that the wife was arraigned and has pleaded not guilty. And I'm guessing that there may be an insanity plea, but I don't know about that. Certainly, I imagine the people at the Cliburn Foundation are wondering where is this going to go, and what will Mr. Kolodenko do at this point? Will he withdraw for a period, or will he figure that continuing to play is the best therapy? It must be a very difficult time. I mean, unimaginably difficult time for him, and a difficult time for the Cliburn Foundation, which obviously wants to promote its winner.
There's this sort of cultural, I don't even want to say cliche because it seems so true to form sometimes, this image of the tortured maestro artist, the tortured genius that seems to really apply at least to the background on this story and this list of victims, to whether you want to call it a curse or not. It seems to conform to that pattern.
Well, of course, one of the problems is that for a concert pianist, for every hour you spend on stage and getting a standing ovation, you're spending all these hours by yourself just trying to make sure that things are correct and that your memory is reliable. You're spending a long time out on the road, on concert tours, having to deal with airplane flights being canceled and getting in late and hotels and restaurant food. And the loneliness of it, really. So it's, people imagine it as a glamorous life, but boy, it's one I would not want.
And clearly lonely for the family of those pianists also.
Yeah, and in this case, he was leaving behind a wife with a 5-year-old daughter and a baby. And she was newly moved here from Russia and, was trying to learn English. And, the stresses must have been just enormous.
It's a fascinating story. It's obviously a very tragic story. You can read Scott's piece on the Cliburn case, the Cliburn curse, at dallasnews.com. You'll find links to some of the things we've talked about today on our show page at guidelibe.com/podcasts. Drop us an email at mixedmedia@dallasnews.com or send us a tweet at mixedmediapod. Not plod. Please don't plod. Please subscribe to our show on iTunes and leave us a review. Just search for our name. Mixed Media is engineered by Tommy Noel and produced by Christopher Wynn and Chris Wagner. For Christopher Wynn, Lauren Smart, and Scott Cantrell, I'm Chris Wagner. We thank you for joining us.